From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
Listeners, welcome back to me, Ahmad Faisal, in English program. Hopefully, you are so fine and still have spirit to listen our program today. And for these 60 minutes ahead, we would like to accompany you with various segments that cannot only entertain you, but also educate as well as inform you our several beneficial information and entertainment such as news, commentary, and also other self-information, as well as Indonesian pop songs. Well, listeners, we begin our program with news. So stay tuned with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id.
This is Voice of Indonesia with the news. First, the headlines. Indonesian Vice President Ma'ruf Amin sanguine about Indonesia emerging victorious in AFF Championship. Indonesia has strong foundation for becoming industrialized nation. I'm Rahmawati, now the news in details. Indonesian Vice President Ma'ruf Amin is optimistic of the Indonesian national football team emerging as champion in the 2022 ASEAN Football Federation Championship. He said Indonesia must emulate the success of Morocco to reach fourth place in the recently concluded 2022 World Cup in Qatar, becoming the first African country to do so. The vice president expected the national team to achieve the feat as they currently recorded 6 points following 2 victories against the national teams of Cambodia and Brunei Darussalam. Vice President Ma'ruf Amin affirmed the government will continue encouraging the national team to achieve more victories through the grand design of national sports. He also expressed optimism that Indonesia will be victorious at the ASEAN level and progress as the Asian and world champions. Indonesia has a strong foundation to become an industrialized country. That's according to Industry Minister of Republic of Indonesia, Agus Gumiwang Kartasasmita, on Tuesday. According to the minister, this is a small part of a greater achievement. All can be achieved through good cooperation among all stakeholders for the benefit of a better industry and Indonesia. Through various strategic policies to accelerate the national economic recovery, the manufacturing industry in the country continued to revive. Minister Agus also said the good achievement proves the government managed to maintain industrial growth amid the current upheaval and challenge. The last national news comes from the General Election Supervisory Agency, or Bawaslu, that has urged state civil apparatus to maintain their political neutrality in the run-up to the 2024 general elections. As he had pointed out during the signing of a memorandum of understanding between the State Civil Apparatus Committee and the Ombudsman on May 31, 2022, some younger state apparatus are still unaware that even liking, commenting, or sharing political campaigns on social media constitutes a violation of their neutrality. Bawaslu Chairperson Rahmat Bagja informed at a seminar on state civil apparatus neutrality, which was accessed on Indonesian Education Ministry of Research and Culture, which was accessed in Jakarta on Tuesday. To address the issue, Bawaslu will continue to disseminate information about state apparatus political neutrality monitoring. Now we move to the international news. Japan will require COVID-19 tests on arrival for travelers from mainland China from Friday, Prime Minister Fumio Kishida said after Beijing announced it will end inbound quarantine requirements. Tokyo has eased its restrictions on tourists in recent months, and the move means travelers from China will be the only visitors required to take COVID-19 tests on arrival, other than those who are displaying symptoms. Kishida said on Tuesday the decision was taken because there is information that infection is spreading rapidly in China. The move comes after Beijing announced that inbound travelers will no longer be required to quarantine on arrival from January 8 after 3 years of strict pandemic control. The U.S. government's two-year-old policy in invoking COVID-19 precautions to turn away hundreds of thousands of migrants at the Mexican border will remain in place for now, the Supreme Court ruled on Tuesday. The decision to uphold the controversial rule known as Title 42 delayed a looming political crisis for President Joe Biden as thousands waited at the southern border in expectation the policy was about to end. But the conservative-dominated High Court accepted a petition from 19 states warning of a surge of migrants should the policy introduced under former President Donald Trump in March 2020 be lifted, as ordered by a lower court. Next, we have Poland that has signed an agreement with France for the supply of two surveillance satellites and a receiving station, Polish National Defense Minister Mariusz Blaszczak said on Tuesday. Earlier in the day, the deal was signed during French Defense Minister Sébastien Lecornu's visit to Warsaw. The minister added, the satellites ordered from France will work in cooperation with French satellites, which according to him, ensures even greater efficiency. We end the news with the South Korean government that has promulgated a law stipulating the implementation of a uniform age counting system from late June. The Ministry of Government Legislation said on Tuesday, the law unifying how ages are counted legally and administratively will take effect from June 28. The ministry expects the establishment of the principle that counts age using the international system on legal and official documents and contracts will resolve unnecessary legal disputes related to age. Well, listeners, that was the news from Voice of Indonesia. From Indonesia to the world.
Thank you.
Listener, today's Diplomatic Corner highlights the Indonesian Embassy in Doha holds an appreciation night for World Cup volunteers from Indonesia. The Indonesian Embassy in Doha on Friday held an appreciation night for volunteers of the 2022 World Cup Qatar from Indonesia. Indonesian Ambassador to Qatar Ridwan Hassan called them as ambassadors of the nation. At the Indonesian Embassy in Doha, in a statement on Saturday, he affirmed that they were ambassadors of the nation who face directly with supporters from many countries. The embassy also noted that there were at least 90 Indonesian citizens involved as volunteers for the 2022 World Cup. Most of them are citizens of the Indonesian diaspora in Qatar, but not a few Indonesian citizens who deliberately flew to become volunteers for the 2022 World Cup, both from Indonesia and other countries. During the 2022 World Cup, the volunteers from Indonesia carried out various tasks ranging from managing the media center, information officers at the stadium, guided for spectators with disabilities, until those on guard serve as guides along the route for the supporters to stadium or crowded places such as the FIFA Fun Festival. One of the diaspora residents who volunteered, Ahmad Syarnubi Fatah, conveyed that although he had to travel for approximately 2.5 hours every day, he still enjoyed this volunteering activity. Besides being volunteers, Indonesian diaspora residents in Qatar were also heavily involved in organizing the Qatar 2022 World Cup. The Indonesian Embassy's Information, Social and Cultural Affairs Executive in Doha, Ali Murtado, pointed out that there were dozens of Indonesian children who were involved as ball crew, flag bearers, or escort players at the World Cup. Moreover, Ali Murtado further explained that Indonesia also participated through several cultural art performances during the 2022 World Cup in Qatar on the opportunity of the local government. Whether it was in the form of angklung performances, batik exhibitions, diaspora festivals, as well as individual art activities. For this participation, the Indonesian Embassy in Doha also gave appreciation to art studios and Indonesian art figures in Qatar who have actively promoted Indonesia during the 2022 World Cup. Well, listener, that's Diplomatic Corner.
This is Voice of Indonesia with Today in History. We begin with an event on December 28, 1908 about Messina earthquake in Italy. The 7.1 magnitude Messina earthquake occurred on December 28, 1908 in Sicily and Calabria, southern Italy, killing about 80,000 people. In 30 to 40 seconds, the 1908 Messina earthquake triggered a high tsunami up to 12 meters. The 1908 Messina earthquake was nearly devastating the city of Messina and named as one of the earthquakes the most terrible in recorded history. Moving on to December 28, 1956, Salman Houdi, hero of the national movement, passed away. Salman Houdi, or often called Kiai Haji Salman Houdi, is the founder of Sarekat Dagang Islam, a batik businessman organization in Surakarta, Central Java, Indonesia. He is known to criticize differences in treatment by the rulers of the Dutch East Indies between native traders, who the majority were Muslims, with Chinese traders. Because of that, he founded the Sarekat Dagang Islam to make his dreams come true. On December 28, 1956, Saman Hudi died in Klaten, Central Java. Saman Hudi was awarded the title the National Movement Hero in 1961 by the Indonesian government. We end today in history with December 28, 2014, about Air Asia plane crash. Indonesia Air Asia flights declared lost contact at around Java Sea near the Karimata Strait when flying from Surabaya, East Java, Indonesia, to Singapore on December 28, 2014. The aircraft carried 155 passengers and 7 crew members. On December 30, 2014, the wreckage of this plane was found floating in Java Sea. On December 1, 2015, almost a year exactly the tragedy of QZ8501, the National Committee Transportation Safety has finally announced the final results investigation, which stated the rudder travel limiter, the tail section of the plane, was damaged. Well, listener, that was Today in History from Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listener, after listening Indonesian song It is the right time for us to present next segment that talk about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people. And here is Indonesian Wonder.
The land of Sumba is indeed endowed with a natural charm that is so beautiful and different from other natural beauty in Indonesia. The natural topography is dominated by a series of mountains and limestone hills, making the nature in East Sumba unique and exotic. And of course, it is different from other districts in East Nusa Tenggara. One of them is Wairinding Hill, the hill which has started being crowded with tourists since it has become one of the shooting locations for the film directed by Mira Lesmana in the film Pendekar Tongkat Emas, does have a very beautiful hilly landscape. If you visit the land of East Sumba, you will feel like you have found a piece of heaven that lies between the hills. Wairinding is located in the village of Pambota Jara, Pandawai district, or about 30 minutes from the downtown of East Sumba. This hill looks amazing with its vast grassland vegetation. Wairinding Hill is so beautiful and very enchanting. It makes the eyes of the visitors look at the hilly on and on. The vast expanse of savanna will be yellow during the dry season and green during the rainy season. Visiting Wairinding Hill in both seasons will certainly give a different impression. If visitors come in the dry season between July and October, the natural atmosphere there will be like being in Africa with its exotic savanna. It's different if visitors come in the rainy season. They will feel the atmosphere like in the hills of New Zealand when arriving at this hill. Wairinding Hill is an appropriate place for visitors who want to enjoy the silence and beauty that is still very natural. Visitors who want to visit Wairinding Hill can use travel services, public buses, or they can rent motor vehicles in Waingapu. Car rental rates range from 5,000 rupiah to 6,000 rupiah with a driver, while for motorbike rentals, it is around 100,000 rupiah per day. There are no supporting facilities around the location, and there is only a small shop on the outskirts. It is recommended for visitors who want to visit the hill to bring food supplies, especially drinks, because the weather in East Sumba is very hot during the day. That's Indonesian Wonder.
Lembar jalin asmara yang ada antara diriku dengan cinta. Menjadi teman baikku kemudikan bahagia, ataupun tempat terlindung bersama air mata. Kau temaniku berlari, antarkan ku untuk menggapai hati. Kau saksi bisu indah jalan cintaku. Kau temaniku kembali saat ku tak tahu kemana lagi. Kereta kencangku bersamamu ku melaju.
Listener, for the next segment, we will present you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. In our program, Let's Speak Indonesian Language, we will introduce you to some Indonesian vocabularies and expressions, and we invite you to speak in Indonesian language. And this program is a cooperation program between the Voice of Indonesia and the Department of Language Development and Language Education of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. And here is Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
This is Voice of Indonesia with Let's Speak Indonesian, a program that introduces the Indonesian vocabulary and gets you to speak in the language. Mari Berbahasa Indonesia, or Let's Speak Indonesian, is a joint initiative of Voice of Indonesia and the Language Development Agency of the Indonesian Ministry of Education, Culture, Research, and Technology. Today's topic is about berwisata di Likupang. Berwisata di Likupang, which means touring Likupang. So stay tuned. We are going to present you a conversation entitled Kita Bertemu Senin Pagi. Kita Bertemu Senin Pagi, which means we'll meet on Monday morning. This conversation happens between Dev Singh, a tourist from India, and Mona, Dev's friend who is a lecturer at Samratulangi University, Manado, North Sulawesi. Mona and Dev have a phone call to talk about their plan to meet again in Manado on Monday morning. Let's listen to the conversation.
Kita bertemu lagi Senin pagi ya.
Baik, sampai jumpa Mona.
After listening to the conversation, now I'm going to introduce some vocabulary and expressions related to the topic of the day. I'm going to say each word 2 times and you can repeat after me. Kita, kita, which means we. Bertemu lagi, which means meet again. Senin pagi, which means Monday morning. Kita bertemu lagi Senin pagi ya. Kita bertemu lagi Senin pagi ya, which means we'll meet again on Monday morning, okay? In the conversation, you hear the sentence, kita bertemu lagi Senin pagi ya. Kita bertemu lagi Senin pagi ya, which means we'll meet again on Monday morning, okay? In the sentence, there are expressions Senin pagi, which means Monday morning. It is used to show time. In the sentence, the expression Senin pagi, which means Monday morning, is used to show time for Dev and Mona to meet again. To state time for appointment, you can use the name of day with unspecified time, such as pagi, which means morning. Siang, which means afternoon. Sore, which means afternoon. Or malam, which means evening or night. Let's listen to the other time expressions. Selasa siang, which means Tuesday afternoon. Saya akan pulang Selasa pagi, which means I'll be coming home on Tuesday morning. Rabu malam, which means Wednesday night. Kita akan bertemu Rabu sore, which means we'll meet on Wednesday afternoon. In Indonesian culture, to state evening time, the word malam, which means evening or night, is used before the day. For example, malam minggu, which means Saturday night, or malam senin, which means Sunday night. Before we end today's Let's Speak Indonesian, let's listen to the conversation once more.
Kita bertemu lagi Senin pagi ya.
Baik, sampai jumpa Mona.
Well, listener, that was Let's Speak Indonesian for today. Hopefully, this edition can be useful for those of you who want to know more about Indonesian language. I'm Rahma, sampai jumpa.
Ku langkahkan kakiku, tak berharap temukan cintamu. Kamu, ya kamu.
Semuanya berbeda waktu pertama ku melihatmu. Kamu, ya kamu. Aku tiba-tiba sayang, aku tiba-tiba cinta. Waktu pertama melihat senyum manismu.
Menggoda tiang kaku, akan kehadiran cinta. Ini kan namanya cinta pada pandangan pertamaku.
Kakiku ini
berhenti tepat di hadapanmu. Kamu, kamu, ya kamu. Ku tak ragu, ku tak bimbang.
Listener, you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. And listeners, next segment we would like to give you information about Indonesian music. Hopefully, it can also entertain you. Here is Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Listeners, in today's edition of Music Corner, I will play a song from South Sulawesi in Makassar language entitled Anak Kukang. Anak Kukang means a lonely child. This song tells about the sadness of a child who is abandoned by his or her family. When the child was a baby, the child was abandoned by his or her mother, until finally the child was adopted by someone else. The child is sad because he or she feels living alone. Even though Anak Kukang is a Makassar regional song, this song is quite well known in Indonesia. Alright, listener, here is the song Anak Kukang by Aulia Anas. Happy listening!
Thank you.
Voice of Indonesia.
Thank you.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Thank you.
we end our togetherness in English language program broadcasting. Thank you for your kind attention, for listening our English program. And don't go anywhere and keep listening for our another program. So stay with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listener, don't forget to like and comment at Facebook The Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, Instagram voice.of.indonesia, Twitter at Voice Indonesia, and our email address voi@voinews.id.